Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? I'm not looking for a cabin in the corner. I mean, that's a good song and I like it, but I'm not looking for a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I'm looking for a mansion right downtown. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a hope we have this morning. I'm thankful for it. Welcome to Marbleton Free Will Baptist. Good to have you today. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings, all your goodness, your mercy and grace. Father, we're thankful to be able to gather in your name today. We're thankful, Lord, that we live in a free country, in the United States of America, and we have the freedoms that we enjoy, and we owe it all to you, and we praise you for it. And Father, we pray that you'd anoint this service today, anoint the singing, everything to be done. It would bring glory and honor to you. We want to magnify you today. I invite the sweet Holy Spirit of God to come and minister to us today. Pray for your encouragement, and pray, Father, that as we leave, we'll leave with a spring in her step, a smile on her face, a song in her heart, and a testimony on her lips. Father, as we leave through the doors to go and serve you and tell a lost and dying world that there's a Savior, and his name's Jesus. Father, I pray for each one that may be watching today. You'd encourage those hearts and you'd lift those up today. And if there be one today that don't know you as the Savior, today would be the day that they would call upon you before it's eternally too late. Father, the other churches that's around are all over America and the world today that's having meeting and having services, Lord, I pray for your touch upon each one. Fill the preachers when they feel step behind the sacred desk. And Lord, you'd anoint them from up on high. And Father, that we would proclaim, thus saith the word of God. Lord, that I love you today, and I'm thankful for everything you've done in my life. And Father, I'm thankful for the day you brought me to my knees and I called upon you. Lord, I praise you. Trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This time, Brother J.M.'s going to come and share with us a song.
Good morning. I was thinking about this song, and one day, see, I was in bondage, and I'm glad that Jesus passed by, and he saw me, and he said, that fellas, he can't go his bail, you know, and there's nobody else can take his place, or they can't pay what he owes. But he said, one day, I paid a debt I didn't owe. Part of that was his debt, and I'm going to let him go free, set him free. I'll go his bail. That was me, and I'm glad for that, and he loves me. And this song says, love is why.
He never said, I have silver ago, yet he has promised me riches untold. He never suffered a life without care, yet he relieves every burden I bear. Sin stained the cross by the blood of my Lord, yet he permitted it without a word. Oh, why time, He redeemed you and me. Love is why you and I are free. I was astray, full of sin with its shame. There was no peace within. I was to blame, though my life so defiled. Now in my God I've been reconciled. Sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet He permitted it without a word. Oh, why? Tell me why He redeemed you and me. Love is why you and I are free. Though I have none of this world's precious goods, yet I'm an heir to all heaven affords. So I was in His earthly fame, yet all heaven can call me by name. Sin stained the cross by the blood of my Son, yet He permitted it without a word. Oh, why? Tell me why He redeemed you and me. Love is why you and I are free. Love is why you and I are free.
Sorry I called some of these words wrong. I couldn't see them because I had a tear in my eye. I'd rather have that tear,
amen,
not be able to see. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sis.
My mama used to say that, sound like Forrest Gump, didn't it? My mama used to say that if your eyes leaked, your head wouldn't swell. So that's a good thing, isn't it? If you have your Bibles this morning, you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Probably a passage that don't think about a whole lot, and but it's a passage I've preached on it a long time ago, and Lord laid it on my heart this week, and it's a passage that'll get us thinking maybe. And it's the title of the message is a question, and it's, what's in your pot? You know, we see the commercial so much about credit cards, and then the commercial guy says, what's in your wallet? And I thought of that after I titled this, but what's in your pot? And you might say, that's pretty strange, preacher, but it'll make better sense in a few minutes. And if you would stand with me, 2 Kings chapter 4, we'll start reading at verse 38. The Bible says, and Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine. and gathered thereof wild gourds his lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, and they knew them not. And I want you to think, and I won't bring this out, and I hope to in the message, and I don't know if I'll remember it or not, but it's on my mind. I want you to remember, for they knew them not. Now, I'll take a show of hands this morning. I normally don't take a show of hands. Who would eat something that didn't know what it was? There's a lot of things I won't eat, and I do know what it is. I mean, I don't. But I want us to get this thought in our mind of we better know what we're eating. We better know what we're partaking of and that we are putting in our pot. Verse 40. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot and said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. What is in your pot? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy and grace. God, I'm thankful for the power of God. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful, Lord, for your sweet Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful the day I called upon you. Lord, did I trust you and I need you just now? I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, for the direction. I pray that you would pass by. I pray that you would touch each heart. I pray for conviction. I pray for encouragement. Lord, I pray that you'd lead us and guide us today. Touch everyone that hears the sound of my voice today. I pray, God, for your touch upon their hearts and lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I have sometimes, you know, I see things standing up here looking back, and I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit, but lots of times, but today I'm looking back and I'm seeing some confused and down looks today. I mean, we're living in a confusing time. We're living in times and of course I'll read the verse probably in a little bit, perilous times. It's frustrating. It's dangerous times, things that we don't understand, and there's a lot going on that brings a frown to our face. Amen? It causes us to be anxious and causes us to worry, which the Bible tells us not to, and we shouldn't, but we will till we leave here, I'm sure, most of us. But this morning, I hope that this will encourage you. This was Elisha here in verse 38, and he is the prophet. He has just replaced, in chapter 2, he has just replaced Elijah. He is now Elijah, we know, was the great prophet of God that challenged the Baal, priest of Baal up on the mountain. Now Elisha seen him go into heaven, his mantle fell back, he had asked for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And so now he is carrying on the ministry of Elijah in the power of Elijah. The first thing he did when he got the mantle, he went back to the river and he hit in the mantle and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And it parted and he went across. And so we see the man of God has picked up Elijah's mantle. I tell you again, and I've said it before, it's important that we have and that we train people to carry on the work of the Lord. It's important that someone can pick up and carry on and that we leave things toward it would be easy to carry. And Elijah did a good job preparing. But Elisha now has come into that role as the prophet in Israel. And the leadership of Israel had rejected both of them. They They didn't really, you know, when it's not always proper when popular to the folks when you tell the truth. You know, I hope I don't get in trouble, but a lot of politicians tell you what you want to hear. And that's more popular. The folks want to be patted on the back, won't be told everything's whole hunky-dory. But when you tell the truth, and when the truth hurts sometimes. And so these prophets, the leaders in Israel, wasn't too crazy about them. In fact, Ahab and Jezebel, they wanted to kill Elijah. But we see here that the sons of the prophets, he said that he had come to Gilgal, and there was dearth in land, and the sons of the prophets, and to give you just a little background on them, this is kind of a school, another place they call the school of the prophets. These were bands of young men under the prophets' insight or oversight. They were like a school, and they were learning and in training them, and they were under the prophets. And in fact, they called Elijah and Elisha both father. So we kind of similar. We might see a monastery. They just had went and had devoted their life to the studies and prayer and being led of the Lord. And boy, I tell you what, it's good to be a student of God. It's good to be a student of the Word of God. It's good that we're open and open to His will, and we are able and allow Him to move in our lives. See, these guys was they didn't know who was going to be next, but they were preparing it if a lot fell on them. Amen? You know, lots of times in church work and in things of God, we don't know when God's going to call us and when our lot's going to fall next. But it is good for us to be prepared when it does happen. Be ready. The prophets was ready to school, or the prophets was ready to step in if need be. And and then we get in, the Bible here says there was dearth in the land, or drought, a famine. There was famine in the land. This was probably in the middle of a 7-year famine that had been predicted. And so food was hard to come by, and we was in a famine. I tell you what, in the world today, we are in a spiritual famine. We are in trouble spiritually in America today. The Bible says in the last days they'd be calling good evil and evil good. Boy, I tell you what, if you say anything good, you take a stand on the right today, you take a stand for the things of God, and you take a stand for good old decent living and good things of the Lord and being decent and moral people, that you're called bad these days. That's exactly where we are today, and we're calling good evil and evil good. And if it's bad and it's ugly, and that's what everybody wants to run to. I tell you what, this morning, the only hope that we've got's the Word of God. I tell you that, I'll say it, the Bible said, oh, let all man be a liar and let my word be true. It don't matter what I say, it's what God says. You might take issue with me, and you might say, preacher, you're just babbling. I may be, but I'm telling you what, I've got something backing me up this morning. I've got the Word of God, and it'll stand when the world's on fire. My mama, you say that too. But there's dearth in the land, and there is today that, see, you. Folks don't have the respect for the things of God like you used to have. When I was a little boy, I don't care if people didn't live right. And some of the meanest ones had respect for a person that was a Christian, had respect for the preacher, had respect for the house of God, and had respect for someone tried to live right. I don't care how bad they was. They'd put the beer cans away when they would come around. They'd hold some of them words back that when the right person comes around. They sure didn't attack the church of the living God. Sure didn't do stuff right and spit in the face of God. Boy, the Lord's taking my hand. I don't have notes for all this. See, in this day and time, there's not much interest for the things of God. If you want to burst the crowd up, you try this sometime. You get a bunch of people together and they're chewing somebody up and down and they're a good gossip going on and boy, it's all well and good and they're a dirty joke. You walk right in the middle of that crowd and say, let me tell you what happened at church Sunday. Amen. You'll break that crowd up pretty quick. And we see here that there was some pottage, and this was a big bowl, and kind of like it, it was a soup or a stew, and I'd preached a message, 100-year-old soup, and it's kind of a that they would add into it. When you'd eat down, you'd replenish it back. You kept this big bowl going, and this what they were. Dearth, and there was not much, there's a famine and not much to put in. So we see here they were trying to fill the pot back up. And in our lives today, that we start running short on things that we think, and we want to fill our pots up. We want to replenish our pots, or the pot of life. And today, as we look here, and I want to share a little bit with you about filling this pot up. See, our life is filled with important things that sustains us. These pots of this soup was filled with things to sustain life, was to sustain and give the sons of the prophets and the prophets, give them the strength and the nourishment they need to go from day to day. And we as in our pot of life, what are we putting in that pot to sustain us spiritually? Where is it we're getting it? I've got some questions that I'm going to ask in this message this morning. But as we look and we're looking about this pot, our nourishment is what's put in the pots. Whatever goes in is going to go in us. And that's what's going to carry us through. What are we putting in? Are we aware of what's going in our pots? First thing, I want to ask a question. What are we in need of today? What are we in need of today as Christians and as the world today? And in Amos 8:11, the Bible says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And I believe that today that we have a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. See, I don't think we're hearing the preached word of God like we used to. I believe there's a famine in it. I don't think that we're getting what we used to get from the preachers that would stand in the pulpit. We're not hearing the preached word of God. In 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 18, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preach the word, and when you preach the cross to people today, that they it's foolishness to a lot of people. They don't understand it. They don't want to know about it. But I'll tell you what, you get a good dose of salvation, and then when someone preaches the cross, there's a chill runs up your spine. There's a good feeling comes in your heart and down in your belly that you say, thank God for the cross. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for Mount Calvary. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Father. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God for some godly parents that brought us up in the house of the Lord. Thank the Lord for somebody that cared enough about me to pray for me. Praise the name of the Lord. It might be foolishness to some, but to us that's saved, it's the power of God. Boy, I like the preached word. I love singing. But boy, it don't do what the preached word does. It won't get the job done until someone will stand and look at you and point that 10-foot long finger back at you. Alfred Cutshaw had the longest finger ever made. You could be on the back row and he'd hit you right between the eyes. Thank God for preaching like that. Thank God for some godly men that stood for what was right. Guess what? You're here today because of that. If you're saved and sitting here this morning, that's some old godly preacher that used to stand and point his finger back at you. Thank God for those men. I thank God I've got some good friends that's still preaching the word. In 2 Timothy, let me go on a little further right here. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not that preaching's foolishness, but he used foolish men. I'm not calling preachers foolish, but we don't have what God's got. We just preach what he gives us. And through what little bit of knowledge and a little bit of stuff that we know, he can still save hearts. He can still save souls. Aren't you glad of that today? Praise the name of the Lord. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." So we, and I'm going to hit on a few of these and we'll go through them, but one of the things that we not only need to preach word, there's some things we need to abstain from and get away from. There's some things we need to run from, and this is perilous times, dangerous and difficult, fierce times. But the first one here that it says that men are lovers of their own selves. I tell you, the pandemic has brought this to light more than anything. Yeah. Lovers of self means you're selfish. Yeah. Anybody tried to find a roll of toilet paper lately? Amen. What about some of these essentials that we need? Somebody's got them hoarded up. Somebody's worried about self more than anybody else. Amen. Aren't we just naturally selfish? I mean, we're just naturally selfish. And that's in these times. And he said that people would be lovers of their own self. Covetousness. Lovers of money. These people, if you've got a dollar in your pocket, these people trying to find a way to get it. Amen? Lovers of money. Boasters. You ever been around somebody that brags all the time? I used to work around a guy and he was bragging about how good he was. doing this work, and boy, he just tell him about how good he was, and the boss said, you know the difference between somebody that's real good and somebody that's pretty good? He said, how's that? He said, that guy that's real good don't have to tell nobody how good he is. Amen. You know, see, these are some things that we need to stay away from and try to get away. See, God is the one that deserves any credit. What we do is we try to take the credit of God and take it ourselves, and we boast in what we've done, and we can't even put our shoes on if it ain't for Him. It's we're still in God's glory. The Bible says in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Glory, hallelujah. It's His glory. And who are we that we try to steal it? I'm nothing without Him. You remember what we's made out of? Not dust, dirt. He breathed the breath of life into a heap of dirt, and man become a living soul. Anything that man does, he gets a glory. Amen. Proud, exalting self, blasphemers, speaking evil, disobedient to parent. Well, I'm glad we don't have to deal with that no more, aren't you? You know, if I don't watch it, I'll get in big trouble right here. But there was a time when I grew up, you respected your parents. Or you took a shellacking. Now, some of you folks don't know what shellacking are. I've got them. And I was taught to respect my parents. I was taught to respect authority. I better not come home from school with a letter that I disrespected anybody at school. I was taught to respect other people. And I was taught if I didn't respect myself, I wouldn't respect nobody. That's where we are today. There's a lack of respect across this nation. I better go on or I'm going to get in big trouble. I'll quit preaching. unholy. No reverence for the things of God. You know, we talked about it a little earlier. People does not have the fear and admonition and reverence of the things of God that we used to have. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I don't need to say much about that. But they said, the Bible says that they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. We'll look Christian. We'll act Christian. We'll come to church, but we'll deny the power of God to change our lives. Amen? We'll deny God's power. We will not let Him have preeminence in our lives. We want to look the Christian way. We want to talk the Christian way. We want everybody to think we're Christians. But when it comes right down to meet where the rubber meets the road, that we won't allow God to move in and take up residence and call the shots. Because if He calls the shots, He'll ask us to do something we might not want to do. Amen? We need spiritual sustenance. Now, when I grew up and before my time, Everybody had a milk cow. Everybody had a pig or two. Growed a garden. And we, this is what we lived off of. This is what was put in the pot. You know something I never did see my mama do? Go out in the front yard or go out beside the house and pull some weeds up and put in a pot to make soup with. Never ever seen that happen. It was legitimate good stuff that she put in for us to eat. Why in the world are we filling our lives full of garbage and full of trash and ain't fit to have? Amen. The next question is, where are we looking? In verse 39, 2 Kings. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full. And that means a lot. It was pretty plenteous, so he got about every one that he could carry and gathered them of a wild gourd's lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. Where are we looking? I want to share something with you this morning, that if you're going to get your food out of the field, you better know what you're looking for. Amen? How many's ever heard of dry land fish? There's a few. I don't really know what they look like. I mean, I've seen kind of, but I'm not going to go out and pull no mushrooms up and go to cooking them. Because when I get to where I know, I wouldn't care. They say them dry land fish is pretty good. But you got to know what you're picking. Creasy greens. If you ain't careful, you get a bunch of something else. A bunch of poison ivy if you don't know what creasy greens are. Amen. How many's ever eat branch lettuce? Amen. Branch lettuce, these things. But you better know what you're going after when you go get some of this. Amen. And if we're not careful, that we'll go in the field and we'll come back with something that we ought not have. That's what this young man did when he went out in the field and he said, for they knew them not. He come back with a whole heap of something. He said, I've got all kinds of food. And went to cutting them up in the pot. But he didn't know what he was getting. Boy, I tell you, before that we buy in to something that's better, a new religion, a new somebody's got a new revelation, somebody's got something else, a better way, we better know what we're getting involved in, and we better find out the whole thing, because I kind of like the old ways. Amen. Seek ye out the old paths, which are good way and walk therein, and you'll find rest for your soul. But then it says in that passage, but they would not walk that way. That's where we are today in America. We've decided there's better paths. There's better religions. There's better worship than the old way. Preacher, you're back way back in the sticks. It's good enough to save my family. It's good enough to save me. Amen. Good enough to take those old saints of God on to heaven. I believe I'll just hang right in there. Because I know what I'm getting. I don't have to be wondering what I'm pulling out, Brother Richard. I don't have to be wondering, is this the right thing? I know, because it's been nourishing to me for so long. Now, you might get me messed up on a dry land fish. You ain't gonna get me messed up on pork chop. I know what a pork chop is. Amen. I know what a bean is. I know what a potato is. I raised up on them and I still like them. Amen. See, when we look to the world for our sustenance, when we look to the things of the world, we better be careful. When we let the world train their children and their grandchildren, you better watch what's on them iPads. You better be checking the memory on the cell phones. You better be checking who they're texting. You better be checking what websites they're going on. Because it can get more trouble in just a few minutes than you ever get out of on that, a bunch of that mess. Now, I use the internet. I use cell phones. I love a smartphone. I use the computer. I Google probably more than anybody in this building. But I'm careful where I go. And I'm careful what I get into. And I sure get out if I have to pretty quick. See, because when we start buying into the world, we start buying into the philosophy of the world. And we start buying into the world standards. See, the world standards are not near the standards of God. Because God is the God of spiritual things. And when we buy into the world, do you remember who the God of the world is? It's the devil. That's the way the Bible describes him. He's the God of this world, the God of the flesh, the God of what makes us feel good, what wants us to strive to make self. That big list of things I read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that is what the devil is involved in. And he's out to kill, steal, and destroy, and tear us down, and ruin our testimony, and lead us astray. And when we go out gathering the wild gourds and these things of the world, that's exactly what we're getting. When we dilly-dally around with them, the old saying is, don't let the devil ride with you because he always winds up driving. And you piddle around a little bit with him, and next thing you know, he's calling the shots and he's driving and you're going where he wants you to go. See, Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be fit into the world's mold, is what this Bible is saying, this verse. Don't conform to the mold of the world. The Bible says that we're different. We're peculiar people. We're priests and kings. They act different. Amen? And don't be conformed to the world. Don't go looking for food to raise our family on in the world. That there's all you need. That's all we need right there. His word is forever settled in heaven. When this world's come and gone, we're all gone off the scene. This is still the standard. This is still the law. This will never fade away. His word will endure forever and ever and ever. And we're going to be judged out of it. Now, I'll tell you, it's not because I've heard other people do it. That's good preaching right there. That's because I'm just preaching what I've heard, Brother Tim. It ain't that I'm a good preacher, but that's good preaching. It'll never let you down and never fail you. If you allow the Word, it'll permeate our hearts and our lives, and it'll change who we are. Do you get mean? Get right in there. It'll get it out of you. You get hateful? You mean to your spouse? Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Rhonda used to read that to me all the time. I don't know why. But God's word will change you. It'll change who you are. It'll change what you think. It'll change what you do. It'll change how you react to situations. It'll change everything about us if we will allow it to come and settle in our hearts and our lives, and we'll say, God, take this word and change my heart. All right. I'm halfway through. Oh, I've got plenty of time. It ain't even 12 o'clock yet. See, when we change, I didn't tell y'all, but we're going to change our services. Instead of having two, we're just going to have it all at one time. I'm kidding. We see, what are you in need of? Where are you looking? What are you reaping? See, this guy went out and got these gourds, and they didn't know what they were. And there's a couple of different things that it could have been the ecbalium, and it's also known as a squirting cucumber. It had a bunch of seeds in it, and when it got ripe, it would burst out. Or the colocynthus, it's also called the bitter cucumber or desert gourd. And there's medicine made out of the last one that I said. And I'm gonna try not to be too vivid, but I'll give you a little. They use this now, and may use it for medicine. And it's for constipation. So if that gives you a little bit of what they just had eat. And they put that in the pot. If you eat enough of it, it'll kill you, they say. And so this is what, and they're real bitter, and the minute they tasted it, they knew they were in trouble. And so this was what they reaped. He said, there's death in the pot. It's because that we went to the wrong place. We got the wrong food, and I didn't know what I was messing with. And when I cut it in the pot, and now we're going to die. Whoo! Man, that sounds like a testimony of a lot of people across America today and across the world. Boy, I didn't know when I took that first drink that I was going to wind up an alcoholic. Boy, I didn't know when I smoked that first pot that I was going to wind up a drug addict. I didn't know when I bought that Playboy that I was going to get hooked on pornography. When I started and winked at that girl that I work with, I didn't know I was going to get an adulterous affair. I thought just a little gamble here and now, I didn't know I was going to lose everything because I got addicted to gambling. You don't hear preaching like this a whole lot anymore. I ain't worth the salt in my bread if I don't preach. Let's set the word of God. And if we're not careful and we buy into these things of the world, we'll be just like the sons of the prophets. And we'll be saying, I didn't know what I was getting into. Before you dabble and daddle around, you better know what you're getting into. See, they ought to be a law made that they had to show both sides of the coin on a commercial. Amen. They show that guy robust with the alcohol. Or to show him car or hit a car head on. Amen. Or to show him a family that's been divided and kids going without anything to eat over it. Or to show the homes have been destroyed by drugs. They ought to show
little babies that never did get the chance to live. Because they say it's a choice. It ain't no choice, it's murder when you kill a little baby. Who's speaking up for them? Who's worried about them? Who's taking a stand for them? May have been one of them that's been aborted, had answered to the COVID-19. Maybe one of them's got the answer to cancer. But we took the place of God and we decide who lives and who dies. See, they put a lap full and they didn't know what they were eating. Last point. What's the cure? What are we in need of? Where are we looking? What are we reaping? But what's the cure? It don't good, do no good to bring out what's wrong if you don't have a cure for it. Amen. Verse 41, the man of God then said, but he said, then bring a meal and cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. You know, I wonder, after he put the meal in, which one of them was the first one to eat out of the pot? It took faith to eat out of that pot. I'm glad I got faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am so glad that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't have no reservations that I'm saved, Brother Frank. I'm on my way to heaven, and I have no doubt about it. Because not nothing I done but what Jesus done. But he said, put the meal in the pot. In John chapter 6, verse 35, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life that cometh down, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. When they put in Jesus in the pot, you're going to be okay. And that well, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter how bad it's done, no matter how many of the squirting cucumbers we've cut up in the pot, we put Jesus in the mix and he'll override all of it. All of the damnable, all of the poison, all the sin, all of the bad and ugly and dark things, Jesus comes to life and he'll take an old stony heart and make something beautiful out of it. Only Jesus can turn a cross into something beautiful that you wear around your neck. Have you ever seen anybody wearing around on their necklace an electric chair? You'd say that's a strange bird right there. The cross was for execution. I guarantee you the Romans didn't wear crosses around their necks. But Jesus took that old horrible thing. Man, oh, life, there's nothing no prettier than that cross. Let me get your eyes on that a minute. He ain't on it. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that today? Well, glory. I'll tell you what, I'm glad he's in my pot. I'm glad he's took care of all the trouble. I'm glad he's wiped out all my sins and wrote my name down in glory. And he's coming back to get me, Sister Elder. Praise his holy name. See, we can look at it with confidence. What was it Peter said? Jesus said, who do men say I am? He said, well, some said you're Jeremiah, some Elijah, some of the prophets. He said, who do you say I am? Then in chapter 6, a little later on in this chapter, in John chapter 6, I think verse 68 or something,
And the people left because he told them that he was the bread that come from heaven, and unless they eat of that bread, they would not go to heaven. And he said that many disciples left following him from that day. He asked the disciples, said, "Are you going too?" Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You're the only one that's got eternal, the words of eternal life." Praise the Lord. And I declare that to you today. To whom shall you go? There is no other way. There is no alternative. There is not another way to get around and get to heaven. If you're going to heaven, you got to go through Jesus. It's Jesus, period. It ain't Jesus plus. It ain't Jesus and. It ain't other than Jesus. It's Jesus. Have I ever said that before here? I hope as long as I live, I'm saying that, Brother Gary. It's all about Jesus. You got troubles today. You got problems in your life. Jesus is the answer. There's a sign in Jonesboro that says, "No, Jesus is the answer, no matter the problem." He's the answer today. It was a given invitation. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't always do this, normally don't. Do you have a need today? Do you have a need in your life? I'm not even going to ask you to pinpoint what that need is. Just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I've got a need. I see these hands. I see these hands. These hands all over the church." The preacher's going to raise his too. We've got needs. We've got legitimate things that we need help with. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the answer. You might say, "Well, preacher, I've already asked him into my heart. I have to come many, many times and say, 'Lord, will you help me? I've got myself in a whole heap of trouble again. Will you help me?'" As we pray, and I meant to mention it earlier, I've got a friend that started a church in down next to Sevierville, and he needs your prayers. He's trying to finish a building, and let's pray for Chad Cavett and his family. But as we start singing, and don't wait for two or three verses, the first verse, will you come out? Do you have a need? Is it you need help with something today? Will you come? Will you come?